coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. A social media star with a million followers can't possibly know all 1 million of them. However, there is one really famous person with billions of followers who knows and loves each one.
Celebrity personas are known by more people than they could ever know in return, but Jesus already knows everybody intimately and can be known by them. He knows you and can be known to you. So let him take your hand and pull you through.
That's Dr. Michael Ziegler's message today on The Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making The Lutheran Hour part of your day, and thank you for your faithful support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now, here is Dr. Ziegler.
They've been called the world's most famous stars on the world's most famous sidewalk. The Hollywood Walk of Fame features stars set in the sidewalk to commemorate famous people and even a few famous dogs. Alongside Lassie and Rin Tin Tin, there are famous singers, actors, entertainers, celebrities of all kinds. Even the Reverend Billy Graham, the famous radio preacher and televangelist, has a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. We call celebrities stars because, like their astronomical counterparts, they shine. Like Billy Graham at a Big Tent revival meeting, stars attract, sometimes dramatically. In 1987, the famous actor Burt Reynolds wrote an introduction to a book about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. By the way, I asked my 18-year-old daughter if she knew who Burt Reynolds was, and she said, never heard of him. Anyway, in the introduction, Burt Reynolds tells a story about an adoring fan. The woman so badly wanted to meet him that she literally mailed herself to him. She had herself shipped in a box. Makes you wonder who signed off on that delivery. Now, the actor was out of town when the shipping container was delivered. Nobody was home. So the poor woman had to claw herself out of the packing crate she'd delivered herself in. She never met Burt Reynolds. I suppose she had to settle for adoring his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's sometimes said that ours is a culture of celebrity. Social commentators lament over problems that come with celebrity culture. Granted, most of us are not packing ourselves in crates and having ourselves delivered to famous actors. The problems that come with celebrity culture aren't so dramatic, but that doesn't make them any less serious. Researchers in child psychology at the University of California, Los Angeles, conducted a study of how TV programs designed for younger children have encouraged different values over time. From 1967 to 1997, the top values promoted on children's shows were being kind, helping others, and being part of a group. Think Sesame Street. In 2007, after Facebook and YouTube were really taking off, the top value promoted by kids' shows was fame, being famous. Think of the program American Idol. And why wouldn't kids be attracted to being famous, to becoming celebrities? Celebrity promises to meet one of our deepest human needs, the desire to be known, to be respected, valued, celebrated. To be a celebrity is to be celebrated, celebrated by many more people than you could ever know, celebrated by more people than you could ever celebrate in return. And therein lies the problem. Too much of a good thing can be bad for you. Or maybe it's that too much of a good thing makes that good thing become something other than it appears to be. We celebrate our favorite celebrities, but do we really know them? Social media lets us know someone's persona, but not their person. We know their curated, publicized self, but not their real self. Celebrity gives the illusion of intimacy, of personal knowing, but not the real thing. To know someone personally, you have to be close to them. To learn what they love and what they hate, to experience their good days and their bad ones. The woman who delivered herself to Burt Reynolds thought she knew him. She had watched all his movies, studied his interviews. She knew that she had the perfect gift for him. Herself. But she didn't know him. It was an illusion she had created for herself. We can also look at the problem of celebrity from the other side, from the perspective of the celebrity. Celebrity promises to meet our need for relationship, to know and be known in return. But it doesn't deliver on that promise. In our era of mass media, celebrities are mass-produced. Just as quickly as one celebrity is made, they are displaced and replaced by new celebrities. A common theme among people who have experienced superstardom is loneliness. Take, for example, pop star Justin Bieber. Now, if you knew who Rin Tin Tin was, you probably don't know who Justin Bieber is, but take my word for it, he's famous. He is a superstar. Justin Bieber explained to Rolling Stone magazine why he started refusing to take photos with his fans. He said, "It has gotten to the point that people won't even say hi to me or recognize me as a human. I feel like a zoo animal." Justin realized that not only did his fans not know him, maybe they didn't even want to know him. All they knew was that his persona made them feel good about themselves, and they thought, maybe if I have a picture of myself with such a well-known person, I will be a little more well-known, more respected, more celebrated. Celebrity, even on the smallest scale, is a problem because it doesn't deliver what it promises. It can't deliver. Because you and I can't truly be celebrated unless we're known. And we can't truly be known without proximity. Without the stories slowly accumulated over seasons and days and years, stories shared in physical closeness with other people. But closeness is difficult. Because when you truly get close to someone, to anyone, you see that they have baggage, just like you do. A persona is exciting. But a real person can be a real drag. With baggage, insecurities, and issues, even stars collapse eventually. It is an observable fact of nature that stars, astronomically speaking, collapse. They burn out and implode. And you know what happens when a really, really big star implodes? It becomes a black hole. As far as we know, a black hole has the heaviest baggage in the universe. To illustrate, imagine you're holding a small carry-on suitcase. Empty, it weighs 5, maybe 10 pounds. But let's say we had a suitcase-sized chunk of the core of a black hole and we put it inside your suitcase. Now your baggage would be really heavy. That suitcase would be 1,000 times heavier than planet Earth. With its own gravitational force 1,000 times greater than Earth's. A black hole, a collapsed superstar, can be a real drag. It is the most needy object in the universe, so to speak. Nothing can escape its pull for attention. Nothing can escape its need to be respected. And when you get close to any human being, superstar or not, you discover that everyone has their own black hole tendencies, not just celebrities. Some people who bemoan our celebrity culture long for the old days when things were different. But were the old days different? Yes, modern mass media has changed our expectations of knowing others and being known by them. But our core human problem is no different now than it was thousands of years ago. The core problem is that we expect humans to give us what we need. Whether delivering ourselves to a celebrity in a crate or asking for a selfie with them, whether we're looking to fans and friends for recognition or looking to ourselves for fulfillment, the problem is the same. You and I act as if humans can fill this bottomless black hole in our hearts, and we all get sucked into the illusion. 2,000 years ago, a Jewish man named Paul wrote a letter to a small community of people living in an ancient Greek city called Corinth. These people were dealing with the same problem that we've been talking about. The ancient Corinthians had their own version of a celebrity culture. As their community was coming together, they started to get sucked into divisions. One subgroup said, "I follow Paul," the famous guy who had started their community. Another subgroup said, "I follow Apollos," the local celebrity whose star had risen after Paul had left Corinth. Now, Paul hears about this and he writes them a letter, the letter now called 1 Corinthians. In the letter, Paul addresses the problem. He reminds them that no human being can meet their need, but only God, their creator. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, servants through whom you came to know God and trust God, each as God gave. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." See, human beings can't give us what we need, because human beings, in relation to God, aren't givers. We are receivers. Only God is true giver. What could we give that we didn't first receive from God as a gift? At our best, we can re-gift. We can pass on God's gifts. At our worst, we get puffed up, as though we were the source of our gifts and accomplishments and virtues, and then we collapse under the weight of our own gravity and become so inwardly curved that we cut ourselves off from God and the rest of the universe, like a black hole. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he references the story of the Bible. It's the story of the Creator who loves what he has made and loves to give good gifts. God created human beings to be conduits of God's gifts, to be gifts with gifts to share. But we got all puffed up. We pursued superstardom. So God showed us that the way up is down. God came down into the hole. God's Son, God's Word, the giver of all gifts, came down. He had himself delivered to us in a human container, in human form. Jesus became human, and he lived for us. He was crucified for us. He took our baggage, our deepest depression, the lowest place. Scientists, following Einstein's theory of relativity, now imagine outer space not as flat and empty nothingness, but as something, a space-time continuum with mysterious features and contours. And so they say that stars can become black holes. Stars can collapse under their own gravity until the space around them becomes so curved, so depressed, that they cut themselves off from the rest of the universe. And scientists speculate, if something falls into a black hole, is it lost forever? Or can the hole become a conduit, a wormhole, a time warp leading somewhere new? Now, since the closest black hole is roughly 1,600 light years away, it's hard to imagine how we could ever conduct such an experiment. For now, we can only speculate. We don't know. But what we do know is that Paul and the other early Christians believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. They believed, and we believe with them, that in the resurrection of Jesus, God opened something like a time warp. The creator of this mysterious, ginormous, contoured universe did something just as amazing as when he created it all out of nothing. God went down into the black hole to save us. God pulled our broken past and our promised future together into the present with Jesus. And now the way up for you is not to try to claw yourself out. The way up is down. Into Jesus, down into the waters of baptism, to be crucified and raised with Jesus. Entrust yourself to him. Be signed, sealed, and delivered over to him. You can trust him because Jesus turns celebrity on its head. Celebrity personas are known by more people than they could ever know in return, but Jesus already knows everybody intimately and can be known by them. He knows you and can be known to you. So let him take your hand and pull you through whatever hole you've made for yourself. Back to life. Back to God. I'm no Billy Graham, but as a radio preacher, sometimes I receive letters and messages from listeners. They tell me that they've listened long enough that they feel like they know me well enough to consider me a friend. It feels strange to have a stranger say that to you. But I understand what they mean. I have my own favorite programs that I listen to, speakers and authors that I follow, and I also feel like I know them well enough to call them friends. But then I have to remind myself that this is only an illusion. It is a byproduct of mass media, which allows a living person to be known, or at least known of, by far more people than they could ever know in return. Author Caitlin Beatty, in her book Celebrities for Jesus, talks about the danger celebrity poses to pastors and other servants of God's kingdom. Beatty defines celebrity as the chance to influence without knowing or being known by those you are influencing. And celebrity likes to whisper to the person held in its power. They can't go on without you. They need you. This temptation is as real today as it was for Paul and Apollos and the church in Corinth. And so we need to hear God's message through Paul. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. If friendship does come to you through this broadcast, then it is Jesus offering his friendship through me, his servant, his conduit. And Jesus will keep sending himself to you, whoever happens to be speaking on this program. In this mortal life, I may not have the opportunity to know you and celebrate you, but Jesus does. I am limited by this space-time continuum, but Jesus isn't. I can't be in proximity with you, but Jesus can. He is present now in his word. He is present in your local worshiping community that gathers around his body and blood hidden in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Jesus himself has delivered himself to you again and again and again so that he can be known by you. And he is with you so that others can know him through you. You and I are his stars, his sisters and brothers, God's sons and daughters gathered together in a constellation, shining for the one who loves us and created us. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, take our warped longing for celebrity and give us intimacy. Give us life together with you, with the people in our local church,
with the people in our household and neighborhood, so that everyone would know you, even as they are fully known by you. Because you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now, and be pure as pure art thou, that we might become like thee.
For free online resources, archived audio, our mobile app, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. You're listening to The Lutheran Hour, and we're back with our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler. We were talking about celebrity and stars, famous people today. I'm wondering, who's the most famous person you've ever met?
20 years ago, I met then President Bill Clinton. I was on military duty, and several of us had the opportunity to go out to Washington, D.C. to meet the president. It was over Veterans Day weekend, and they were unveiling the new World War II monument. Have you ever seen that one?
Right.
So they had this special event, and we got to shake President Clinton's hand. And also, I remember in the room was Tom Hanks, the actor, because he had a real big part in getting that monument established. And so I didn't get to meet him, but we were in the same room. And so I had my friend take a picture, and I photobombed in the back. So that was my second closest call.
Okay. You met him, but he didn't necessarily meet you.
No, I was just some weird guy sticking his head in the background.
Who's that guy with Mike Ziegler?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm thinking here of celebrities that I've either met or seen walking through an airport somewhere. Britt Ekland.
No.
Amy Grant.
Yeah.
Robert Keeshan.
No.
Captain Kangaroo. Does that ring a bell?
I've heard of it.
Brian Kilmeade, Elvis Costello, and Al Roker.
All right, maybe half I recognize.
Okay. Well, there's A-list, B-list, and C-list, aren't there?
Yeah, I guess there's always someone more famous.
Have you ever met, let's call it a fan, who thought they knew you but had an entirely incorrect impression of you?
Well, when we have listeners who are faithful, they know my voice. Sometimes they'll say that, like, "Oh, I recognize your voice, but I had no idea what you looked like." They say all kinds of things. Very often, they comment on my baldness. They didn't realize I was bald, so I guess it's good that my lack of hair doesn't come through on the radio.
What are the dangers of Christian celebrity, if there is such a thing?
That's a good question. And the book that I mentioned in the sermon, I read it to prepare for this. It's titled Celebrities for Jesus by Caitlin Beatty. Caitlin Beatty is a journalist, and she examines this phenomenon of Christian celebrity. And she talks about the difference between fame and celebrity. She says, you know, fame's always been around, but more often than not, you weren't famous until you were dead. It just took longer for word to get out about the great thing you did or whatever. But celebrity is different. It's something new that has come with the introduction of mass media. And so celebrities now can be made overnight.
And Andy Warhol's famous prediction has come true when he said that in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes.
Okay. Now, I've heard the phrase, "your 15 minutes of fame," but I didn't know that it
based on that
comes from that quote.
And with the rise of social media, fame has become more spread out, maybe more egalitarian, but also more fleeting.
Yeah. Yeah, fleeting is true. And I think that's part of the toxic side to celebrity. It's on the one hand, is a person seeking celebrity. You can never get enough of it. And once you get it, it flies away. You can't hang on to it. The other way that it can be toxic for the person who has it or who is had by celebrity is there's a temptation to put yourself in the place of God for other people. And so that's, of course, dangerous. But then also for the Christian church and the mission of the Christian church, it's also just short-sighted. Because if you think about the mission of the church, it is to know God and to make him known, to know Jesus and to make him known. And God, as he's revealed in the Bible, wants to be known to us through relationships with other people, specifically with other Christians. That's how he makes himself known. He wants us to experience intimacy with him through intimacy with other people. So you think about the life of a Christian household or a Christian marriage. This is where you really learn how to practice the faith, bearing with each other's burdens and forgiving each other and being forgiven. This happens in the Christian congregation. This is where God makes himself present, the presence of Christ and the presence of other Christians in the bread and wine, the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. That's where Jesus gives himself to us with others, in the preaching of the local pastor, the unknown non-celebrity pastor, week after week after week, delivering God's word to his people.
So these are the venues in which we are shining like stars.
Right. It's the local church. That's where God does his work. And of course, more often than not, you know, not everybody is the crystal cathedral. Most churches are unknown to the world, but nonetheless loved by God and known by God.
Taught by Jesus, we're bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the support of our faithful listeners. We rely on your prayers and gifts. To learn how you can support and extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. And join us again next week as Dr. Ziegler discusses family dinners and the gracious feast God has prepared for us. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.